Christmas programs and stuff like that, so maybe it's taken longer to get here than normal, but I'm glad we're here. So, and I'm glad you're here too, for sure. So let's get started. My name's Dan. I'm just part of the teaching team here, and again, yeah, really happy to be here. So today we're going to be talking about the birth of John the Baptist as we're walking through the book of Luke. And before we get started, I've just got a few guiding questions I think that I want to pose for us as we get started. So three questions I wanted to just ask right now, and we can think about those and come back to them a bit throughout here. One is just pretty simple, like, who are you? Okay, who are you? And how do you know that? Who are you? And how do you know that? And then the last one is just, do you believe that? Who are you? How do you know? And do you believe it? Are these questions that I've been thinking for myself a lot lately, and especially as we learn about, as I've been reading and learning about John and his life, I think these questions are important. And so the way we answer these questions for ourselves is going to say a lot about the lives we lead and who we really are. So, to go back a little bit, just review. Let's see, you got to remember which one goes forward. Yes, it's that one there. Okay, maybe you recognize that picture. If you have children, you've probably seen that a lot of times. it's a real picture of John. Okay, so going back to our first message that we heard out of Luke, the birth of John the Baptist was foretold. John, he has parents, of course. They're Elizabeth and Zechariah, and they're old. They're really old. They're in their 80s. They've never had any kids before. Zechariah, he works in the temple, and one day when he's working in the temple, the angel of the Lord comes and talks to him, and he tells him that their prayers have been answered, that they're going to be blessed with a child, that child's going to be a son, and their son's name is going to be John. So, that's pretty neat. After some back and forth between Zechariah and the angel, Zechariah shows that he's got a little bit of disbelief about this message that this angel is speaking to him. And so because of that, he's told that he's not going to be able to talk for a while. And not until the baby's born is he going to be able to talk again. And so you know, like moving on, and that's pretty much where that story goes. So now we fast forward about 9 months, a little over 9 months, and everything happened like exactly how the angel said it would be. Elizabeth became pregnant. John didn't say a word for 9 months. I don't know how that went between the two of them. I've said a lot of dumb things in my life, and I probably said most of them when my wife was pregnant, just my own insensitivities, but probably a little rough for him to not be speaking during that time. But Elizabeth, she did give birth to a son, and so in the story, I guess in the Jewish tradition, the child's not officially named until circumcision happens. And so this happens like 8 days later. And so here they are. They're at the called the circumcision party. I don't know if I want to go to that party. It's weird. But they're at the party they're at the event. I can't call it a party. That's weird. They're at the event, and I don't know the order of operations for like when they do the procedure and when they say the name, but when they ask for the name, they're obviously going to ask Elizabeth because she's the only parent who's talking at the time, and she shoots off with John. She says that his name's going to be John, and this is very shocking to everybody. Dad's not named John. Grandpa's not John. There's no like famous uncles named John. There's like no one in the family worthy of naming this child to be John. And so this is very abnormal. It's already an abnormal situation, but this is strange. So they look over to Zechariah and they're like, well, well, what do you think, you know? And so he gets some paper and or something. I don't know if they had paper then. And he writes it down. And, of course, it says John. And so then everybody in the room is just like totally in shock. This is not the way circumcision parties are supposed to go. So a handful of really unusual things have happened. We could start with the fact that, like, their story starts with the angel telling them this, that these people in their 80s are going to have children. I'm guessing over 60 years of infertility, over 60 years of no children. And then when this baby is born, he's healthy. 9 months have passed since the father has said a word, and then his words are finally confirming the naming here of being John. And so the response then of those people who were there is. Their response is, it says that they responded in fear, I don't know the Greek and Hebrew thing, but I thought I'd actually look up this word fear to see, like, how they meant it, and it truly meant to be scared, right? Like, they were scared because, like, weird stuff has happened here. Maybe the weirdest thing of all is that when he declared his name as being John, suddenly it says that his tongue was loosed and he could speak again. Zechariah could suddenly speak again, and words just started pouring out of him. And those words are blessing God, right? He's talking about how great God is and how amazing he is and the things that he's done. That's what happens. And I thought that was kind of interesting too, because, like, he spent the last 9 months not talking to anybody. You know, it was like a certain point, you kind of learn to just keep your mouth shut. But the spirit inside him was so strong and welling up in him so much that just words just started erupting from him, and he's singing praises to God in that moment. So this is an unusual circumcision gathering that happened here. And it says then that the news of these events spread through Judea. Do I have a slide for that? Oh, not yet. Go back. All right. So the news spread throughout the country. Okay. And here's a moment where I wonder, like, what that looked like. Okay. So, like, I imagine it in modern day times. Like, you know, you're gathering. You're back at work on Monday, and everyone's like around the water cooler or getting their coffee and their morning break, and they're talking about their weekends. What'd you do this weekend, you know? Like, and so those people who were at that event there, like, they saw something and they started talking about it, and they were sharing this with their friends. They were sharing this with the people in their community of exactly, like, what they saw. You're never gonna guess what. I was at this circumcision party for these 80-year-old people, right? Like, that's going to get some attention. They're like, what, 80? Are you sure? And it's like, yeah, like, my aunt's best friend's uncle, like, we were at his house, and there it goes. But, I mean, but they're talking about it, right? Like, they're talking about their weekend. We have a chance to do that too, right? We have a chance to go talk about our weekend, and we're going to share something tomorrow with the people that we meet with tomorrow, the people who are not here with us now. We're going to share with them about what we did over the past 2 days, and hopefully we can share with them an experience of what we're doing here today, about who we're talking about. And we're talking about God today, so in this event, for Zechariah going out and sharing this, I'm sorry, not Zechariah, but those people sharing about what they saw, the conversation was about God and what God had done. And they're saying that God is surely with this child here, right? So immediately, like, the word and the message about this boy named John and how his connection to God and what it is, people are talking about that immediately into his life. So that's, I guess that's just like this story here, and it's a short piece of scripture. But before we get going, so I had those questions at the start. There we go. Okay. I had those questions at the start, right? Who are you? How do you know that? And do you really believe that, right? I had those questions that I want us to keep in our mind. And as we go through those and, like, try to answer those for ourselves, 3 points, I guess, that I'm going to go through. So I'll just say these now to help you track where I'm at. You'll know if I'm off track. First one is this, that God named John and God gave him a purpose. Second one is that John fulfilled that purpose. And then the third one then is about us and our identity in God and how we fulfill that purpose. Okay. All right. So the first one then, that God named John and gave him a purpose. All right. So God made John's name known before he was even born. So this is pretty special, right? Back in at the beginning when Michael was teaching us a couple weeks ago, Luke 1:13, Gabriel says to Zechariah, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." Okay, before he's even born, this guy gets a name. Like, from God. Before he's even conceived, before his parents have any idea that this could possibly happen, God has announced that this kid's going to happen, and he's told them what his name is going to be. That's pretty special, right? There's a few other people who have had this honor of being named by God before they're even conceived. Jesus is one of those people. Ishmael and Isaac got their names pretty early on, right? Others have been named by God, too. Their names have been changed, right? Abram to Abraham, Sarai to Sarah. We have Jacob, Simon, Peter, Saul to Paul, right? These are some people who God has changed their names or given them their names outright before they were even born. And John's on this list. So that's a pretty special list to be on, okay? So I'll take a moment right here to ask this question again, right, of the first question of who are you? Who are you? And I asked this when I was looking at my list of these names. I don't know, like, why I'm not Jesus. I know that I was going to say. I don't know if, like, I don't think I'm on the list of, like, having been named before, but what's God's name for me is what I'm trying to say here. Because I think of people like Jacob, who's Israel, Simon, who's Peter, Saul, who's Paul, right? Like, is there like a name for me that God has in mind for me that I don't know by, right? Am I like walking around as Simon when I'm supposed to be something else? So it's just a question that I think about lately is like, what's God's name for me? What does he call me? So, John's been named by God. The second thing within this is that God has given him his purpose. So he named him, gave him a purpose. I don't know. There we go. And he gave him his purpose, just like his name, before he was born. Hundreds of years before John was born, God said what his purpose was going to be. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, it says that a voice cries in the wilderness, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight the desert a highway for our God." He's talking about John here, and later on, Jesus is going to confirm that he's talking about John here. But hundreds of years, like almost 700 years before Jesus was born, before John is born, God has declared what this man's purpose is. And like a thought that I've had on what this means, right? He's saying to like make straight the path here. This is a path that's already been laid out. Like, John's not building this road for Jesus to walk on. This is a path that's been set for a very long time, hundreds, thousands of years maybe. it's been constructed and mapped out the Old Testament, all through the Old Testament, this path that John is making straight, that he's clearing off. Throughout the Old Testament, this path is being made clear to us. I imagine like a guy out like shoveling snow off his driveway. Or if you've lived in Thailand your whole life, maybe like sweeping leaves off the sidewalk, okay? This is something that's established. It's already here. He's not doing anything novel. He's just making it clear. He's saying, get ready, like he's going to walk here in a minute. And we want to get things ready. God wants to make sure that when Jesus comes and walks, that we're all ready to see him and take him in for who he is. So he's making that path straight, and like I said before, at that party, after that circumcision party, people went out and started talking about it. And so here in Luke 1, 65 and 66, it says, and all these things were talked about, the circumcision party here, right? All these things were talked about through all the hill country of Judea, and all who heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, what then will this child be? For the hand of the Lord was with him. John's fulfilling his purpose before he even has a chance to do anything about it. Right? God is certainly at work here, from his conception to his birth to his naming. And 8 days later, like, the path for Jesus is already being cleared off with the coming of John into the world. So John's going to fulfill this purpose, and he's got a really early start, that he's doing it right away. God brought John into the world to clear the way for Jesus to do his work, right? The real job, right? The job that Jesus is going to do is the real job, the big one, right? The work that's ultimately going to save us from our sins. Like, that's the real work that's going to happen here by Jesus. He's the one really doing stuff. John's just guiding us that way, right? He's showing us the way that Jesus is going to walk, and then Jesus is going to come in and do that. Okay, so the second main point was that John fulfills his purpose. So I've got a bit more on that. In the book of John, different guy if you didn't know, the book of John in chapter 1, there's a story about John the Baptist, and it's chapter 1, verses 19 through 23, okay? And so John the Baptist, he's grown, right? He's out in the wilderness, telling everybody that Jesus is going to come. He's out there and, you know, he's telling people to, you know, like repent and turn, right? The coming of the Lord is going to happen. So he's telling everybody this is going to happen. He's baptizing people in the Jordan River. He's doing what God has led him to do. And this, of course, causes like stir amongst the religious officials who are out there. And a group of priests and Levites, it says, they come to ask John some questions, okay? And the first question is, who are you? Who are you? And John, he knows who he is. Like, it's been made clear to him a lot of things about who he is and also who he isn't, right? He's been given this really important job to do by God. And so he knows who he is and who he isn't. So John's response to this question of who are you, he says, he confesses, right? He's in agreement with them here. He says, like, I am not the Christ. I am not the Christ here. Like, I am not that guy. I'm not claiming to be the guy. I am not the Messiah. Like, let's clear things up. I'm not that guy. In case that's what you're wondering, right? But that's all he tells them. He just gives them that much. But he answers them truthfully. So they go on, okay? Because it's like when someone asks you, like, who you are, like, you should be able to give an answer, right? Like, we should be able to answer for ourselves who we are. Like, I might say, I'm Dan. I said that earlier. I'm a member of the teaching team here. I'm a teacher at GES. I'm a husband. I'm a father. I get nervous in front of crowds. I wore a risky shirt here today for color coding, and if I'm sweaty, I have all these things I can label. So, like, we're expected to be able to give some answer for ourselves of who are you, like, unless you're amnesia, like you should know, you should have some answer ready. So he just tells them, like, I'm not the Messiah. So they keep pressing, though, and because they didn't really get the answer that they were wanting from him, they asked, they're like, well, what then? Like, are you a prophet? Are you Elijah? Like, who are you? You know, like, it's what they're doing here. And I say this is they're trying to pin something on him, right? Like, the answer their original answer they got wasn't good enough, so they're like, well, then you must be a prophet. You must be Elijah. You must be this. People are talking about you, and we've heard what people are saying, and so it's our conclusion then that you're that guy or that guy. It's kind of like chucking these things at him to see what sticks. And this happens for us all the time, right? We've got our own answer for who we are, but our friends or coworkers, our strangers on the street, the people who don't understand us or who we don't understand them, right? Like, these identities are being kind of chucked at us all the time, and sometimes these stick on us, and, like, sometimes they're not very good, right? Like, an identity that gets thrown at me, not by any of you, I haven't heard it if it is, but but that you're not qualified to do something, or you're not good enough to do that. That's an identity that I'll carry around with myself a lot. You're not good enough. You're kind of lazy. You are paying too much attention to your phone, or you're being a bad dad right now. Like, these are labels that I don't know where they're coming from. But they're coming at me like a lot of, like, negativity, and I'll eat that stuff up. I'll take that. Like, I'll wear that, those identities that the world's shoving onto me. I'll wear other ones too, good ones. I don't only hear bad stuff, right? Like, no one actually tells me those things. Like, you're awesome. You did such a great job at that thing. You're being so successful right now. Look at what you're doing, Dan. Like, you're being such a good dad, raising your family and showing them, you know, talking to them about God. You're doing such a good thing, Dan. So I feel good, right? I feel good about myself. Maybe I feel proud of myself. These are identities that I'm getting from the world, right? These are identities that something else is throwing at me, and they're sticking. Whether they're good or bad, they're sticking to me, and I'm adopting those as part of my identity in who I am, okay? So this is dangerous because, my question, who are you? Well, how do you know, right? There's another important part of it. How do you know that that's who you are? Is it because you told yourself that? Is it because someone else told you that? Is it because God told you that? John knows who he is because God told him who he is. He gave him his name and his purpose before he was born. He's known him. He gave him his purpose. He knows exactly who he is. So he tells him, no, I'm not those guys. You can't do that to me. So they say, so then what then? Like, who are you? You got to give us something. Like, we're going to go back and they're going to expect an answer from us. Who are you? What do you have to say about yourself? So here he tells them exactly who he is in John 1:23. He says, I am the voice of the one crying out in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. So they know that verse. They know that one. I don't know if they like that answer or not. But he told them exactly who he is. And that identity there, that most certainly comes from God, right? That's written in his book about who he is. He's making it clear as day. I'm that guy. That's who I am. That's what I'm here to do. That's what I'm out here in the desert doing. So John spent his life doing that then. He spent his life then, proclaiming the coming of the Messiah. And John's faithful service to the kingdom leads him to meet Jesus and announce the arrival of the Messiah. So, just a little bit later on in the same chapter of John, here's this scene again, right, that I just imagine what's going on. He's out there, he's telling everybody, he's baptizing them. And then all of a sudden, who shows up? Jesus shows up on the scene while he's out there doing the exact work that he'd come to do. Like, that had to be kind of neat for him. He's like, I told you. Here he is. Okay. And in doing this, right, so his faithful service to the kingdom, right, and what he's trying to do, Jesus certainly recognizes and knows who John is, and he talks about who John is, and he talks a bit about who we are too, which will lead us into that last section. In Luke, then back to Luke, chapter 7. That's not 27 through 29. That's just 28 up there. But Jesus is talking about John and who he is. And he says this about John. He says, I tell you that among those born of women, none is greater than John. So he put John in a pretty high place right there, right? He thinks very highly of John. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he is. Do you know anybody living in the kingdom of God? Do you know anybody who's a follower of Jesus? He's talking about you. He's talking about those of us, right? The least in the kingdom of God. He's talking about us like we're in that kingdom. And because we're a part of God's family, right? Because we are adopted into God's family, he's saying that for how highly he thinks of John, he's saying that us as members of the, citizens in the kingdom of God, that we are above John. He's putting us in a really high place. John didn't get the privilege of living on to see Jesus fulfill his work. He died before that happened, but we are living in this post-Jesus time. Right? We're living after that. And because of that, because of our faith in Jesus and where we've put ourselves, because of the choices that we've made in following that calling that God has given to us, Jesus is saying that we get to be in a higher place than him because we are in the kingdom of God. So here's God telling you who you are. He's already told John who he is, and we can read about that. He knows who he is. We should know who we are too. Those identities that get flung at me and you all the time from whoever in the world or wherever in the world, right? Those worldly identities that are getting thrown at you, that's not you. That's not you. Don't carry those around and saying, that's who I am. No, here's who you are. You're God's. You belong to him. Maybe too fast. Can you read that? Oh, it's tiny over there. It's big up here. All right, so the third point that I want to make is this, is just about us and our fulfillment of our purpose now, okay? And so, want to identify who we are, right? In answering those questions, who are you? In Psalm 139, I'll just read 13 and 14. It says, this is David talking to God, right? For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. God knew us before we were born too. That's what I read there. That's what that told me. God knew me before I was born too. Just like John, he knew me too. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. God made me. Surely if he made me, he knows me. In Isaiah 43:1, it says, "But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." So, I mean, like, I don't want to take this too out of context or anything, but, I mean, he's talking about his nation, right? The nation of Israel and how he has called this nation. He's made them his special people, right? Like, these are God's people. And he called Jacob. He says, "Jacob, no, you're Israel now," right? He named that name Israel, right? It means to struggle with God. That sounds like me. Does that sound like you? You struggle with God? But he's talking about them. And see, yeah, like, I'm not Jewish, but I am a part of God's adopted family, right? So if that's true, then to me that means that God has redeemed me and that he has called me by name as well. So God's made me before I was born. He has called me by name before I was born. Like, he knows me. He knows you. He knows you. He knows who you really are. So we fit John's profile pretty well so far. What then is our purpose, right? Like, if I'm trying to make a point of to follow whatever our purpose is, to fulfill our identity, we have to know really like what that is. So we belong to God, right? He's our creator. He's made us. We struggle alongside of God just like all of Israel. So God's really claiming us as our own. So I'll say, you know, as a child of God, it's hard to believe that he wouldn't call me by name. Knowing God as my creator and my father, it's hard to believe that he didn't decide on my name and call me I think I missed a comma in here. It's hard to believe that God didn't decide on my name and call me by long before my mom and dad picked something for me. I don't mean like my literal name. Like, I don't know if God actually calls me Steve or something else. But it's not about that, right? It's about like this point I'm making about like who's my identity in God, right? Like, does he care if I'm a teacher? I don't know. Like, I don't know if he cares if that or if he cares like if I live in Thailand, you know, like whatever these things are. Like, if I think I'm like an athlete, I'm not anymore. I don't know what that identity is, but God has something for me, right? And what I think like that identity, that purpose that God has for me is to just follow in that path that we've been given, right? John came along and he made the path for Jesus clear. He cleared that way for him. And so Jesus came and he walked that path and he fulfilled his role, right? He did the big job and he's done the saving work in us. So now I have, you know, called him my savior. I've confessed that. And so now I'm in that kingdom as well. And so now I am to follow that same path, right? Not just to Jesus, but to continue following him on that path. So, you know, God made the path for Jesus straight, so we're to walk on that. John told Jesus that John. Sorry, I'm getting nervous now. God told John. I'm sorry. John told people that Jesus was coming. And so now we can tell people that Jesus has come. Right? That can be our purpose. And that can look different to a lot of people. That can, if not everyone's bold enough to go back to work on Monday, and when you're having your coffee break with your coworkers, your people who are non-believers, not everyone has the confidence or the gift to start evangelizing and just telling them, hey, here's some Bible verses I heard this weekend. Like, let me tell you about Jesus. Like, not everyone has that. Maybe you have something you can do within the church here, right? Like, we heard a couple calls to service of things that we can do this morning, right? Those are some steps that we can take to walk and follow Jesus on his path. Maybe it just takes something a little bit more inward. You know, like, I don't know where all of us are at on our current walk. We're all at different places to do stuff. But I think the first step, right, an important step for us to begin with is to reflect on that third question that I had asked, right? Who are you? How do you know? Do you believe it? Do you really believe it that God made you, that he was involved in the creation of you, that he's involved in the naming of you, that he truly knows you, your most inward, darkest secrets? Do you truly believe that he has control and he has the power to shed light on that? He does. He does have that power to do that. Do you believe that, right? Developing that belief is something to do. And what I've experienced in my life in developing that, because I've in my walk, like, I've had ups and downs. And when I first became a believer, like, I believed it fully. And then, like, I still believed it. And I kind of stopped doing stuff to show that I believed it. You might not even believe me that I believed it based off of watching me walk my path or walk Jesus' path. I was walking over there. But as I move my feet forward, as my feet move me closer, then that strengthens my belief, and that strengthens my faith the more that I walk towards Jesus. The closer I come to him, the stronger it is. And so, you know, like, there's so many things that we could do, right? I mean, just like talking to God, truly trying to understand who he is, just praying to him, reading about him, just getting to know him more, responding to those things that he's saying back to you, those things that he's showing you. This morning before I came, I was a ball of nerves on the drive here, and questioning myself and doubting myself. My whole message, I was like, this is garbage. This is not going to go well. that's the enemy there whispering in my ear, and me listening to that quite a while back. Like, we heard Brother Daniel talking to us about the enemy in the garden talking to Eve and whispering those same words, that, like, this is, like, what are you talking about? This is not it, you know. But those were lies, and I knew that, right? Like, I was ready for that. And so I prayed, and I was still nervous. And I didn't settle coming up here until we were singing Lay It All on Jesus. And singing that song, right? To just taking my cares and just casting them on him, right? Like, I was like really singing. Like, it sounded bad, but I was really singing, and my heart was really singing there, and I was truly, like, believing who God is. And believing that, like, I felt peace. I felt peace come over me. And then I felt ready to deliver a message. And the whispers, the voice that said that this is garbage, what are you talking about, Dan? And those went away. So whatever my purpose is, I think it's just to follow that path, to tell people that Jesus has come in whatever form that takes. So, in conclusion, I guess I'll just ask those last three questions of who are you? How do you know? Who told you that? And do you really believe it? So, let's take a minute to reflect on this, and then I'm going to pray. So we're just going to, let's just kind of like close our eyes for like quietly for a minute and think about those. What are those identities that you feel on you, and where'd that come from? Who told you that? Who are you really? Father God, I thank you for the work that you do in our lives. I thank you for your word that shows us and points us to you. Holy Spirit, well in us, fill this congregation with your presence and lead us all to an understanding of who our Father is, who we are. Jesus, thank you for doing the real work. Thank you for paving that way for us, for calling us to you, for leading us to our Father in heaven. God, I pray for everybody here that we hear whatever message, whatever truth was spoken today. I pray that we take that into our hearts and we take that out with us. We love you. And we pray everything in Jesus' name. Amen.